Hello, product innovators. Today we learn how to design and execute a sales process for selling your hardware invention from a sales strategist who's worked with over 150 product manufacturers.
This is the Product Startup Podcast, a show to learn from top leaders in hardware product development, prototyping, manufacturing, product selling, and everything in between. Hosted by Kevin Macko, the leading expert on product development for hardware startups.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm very excited to introduce Wesleyan Whitaker to the show. Wesleyan is the CEO of Transformed Sales, a company that has worked with over 150 manufacturers and product brands on building sales processes to grow quickly and effectively. Today, Wesleyan will share valuable knowledge from vendors, startups, and small manufacturers on what a sales process is, the key components and subcomponents of a well-designed sales process, and how to run that process well to ensure you launch and grow your hardware product sales successfully. Now, onto the episode.
This show is produced by Macko Design, the original firm providing end-to-end consumer product development services tailored specifically to hardware startups, small manufacturers, and inventors. Take your product from idea to store shelves at MackoDesign.com. Now, on to the episode.
Hi, Wesleyan. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me, Kevin. I'm excited to chat with you.
Well, we're excited to chat to you today about sales processes for a new hardware product that a new hardware entrepreneur is trying to get to market. So whether you've been in the sales space or whether you've been in the product space, it actually doesn't matter. Today, you're going to learn the processes, if it's your first time in either of those, to really figure out how to build a process, why it's important, and how to execute on it well. But before we get into all that great stuff, Wesleyan, just give us a bit of a backstory of how you became the success story that you are today.
So I'm a recovering chemist, and I started my career in the petrochemical industry as a failure analysis chemist. And then my first step into the world of sales was actually selling capital equipment. So I have the great pleasure of walking around, you know, with my hard hat and my set of tools, really focusing on selling capital equipment into plants. And I decided what I really wanted to do was help manufacturers really focus on building strong sales organization through process, through training, and through consulting.
That's amazing. And you've worked now with over 150 manufacturers over a long period of time in sales, figuring out how to sell better, how to sell more product, or how to sell a new product for the first time to the market. And a lot of that comes back to the actual process. The nice thing I want to mention here, especially for hardware startups, if you're just kind of tuning in or just getting the idea of the sales process, maybe you're just in development. Maybe you're still even in the idea phase, or you're getting into manufacturing and you're starting to look forward to some of these things that you may be doing with your product down the road. The important thing here is if you can follow some of the processes and best practices, it actually simplifies it a lot. And that's what we're trying to do today's show, is to really empower you as any person out there selling your product, how you yourself can be great at selling your product for the very first time. So, Wesleyan, let's start big picture here. Like, what is the definition of sales process?
A sales process is a proven and repeatable way that you walk yourself through a sales funnel. You might have heard of a funnel or a pipeline or all of these different terms that people use to get from a person that is out there in the world all the way to a client who's purchasing your items, who's using them. So that's literally what your process is. It is a step-by-step from person coming in to person saying, I want to buy your hardware product. I am a raving fan. I am a customer.
Love it. So let's drop into what the actual processes are. Like, what are the main components of a sales process, just at a high level?
So what you want to do is, I like to break it into three big buckets, right? And I go prospect, nurture, close, right? And so what we're thinking about is, in that prospecting bucket, it is, how am I engaging the clients? How am I attracting them? What am I doing in my marketing? What am I doing, you know, in my outreach? And now they say, hey, I'm raising my hand. I'm kind of interested in what you're doing. How do I nurture them? What am I doing in terms of my discovery meetings, my email drip campaign? And then once they're like, okay, I'm ready, they're raising their hand, it's all about, how do I close this person? How do I handle objections? And how do I ensure that this one person that I spent X number of dollars acquiring is a repeat customer? They don't just buy one thing, but they come back and buy more of my hardware, buy more of my products, buy more of the things that I'm offering.
That's powerful. You can look at this in many different contexts as well. As a hardware startup, on there, know that there's a lot of different ways to sell product. You can sell it direct to customers, and this could be, well, how are you selling one-to-one to somebody who has expressed interest either on your website, through your Shopify, through your crowdfunding campaign, whatever else. But this can also include more serious or larger customers, which is your wholesalers, your retailers, any sort of distribution company that's buying potentially in volume, which is a great way for a hardware company to sell because you can go from selling 0 to 1,000 with one decision maker, one person who's interested. So let's start figuring out how to do this well, Wesley, and just give us a bit of best practices around that prospecting piece. And we'll go through it piece by piece and learn some of the tips and tricks that you've seen over the last 15 years of doing manufacturing sales on how to really do each of these key components well for a hardware startup.
So when we think about prospecting, one of the things that you said that is really important is to understand who is on the end, on the other side of the table from you. Am I focusing on a 50-year-old man who is doing his own projects around the house? Or am I focusing on a 50-year-old executive who is thinking about all of the distributors that I have under my tutelage? So we first want to focus on who is that ideal client and how do they consume information and what do I need to give them? And so when we're prospecting for them, I like to say that we can't just do it in a vacuum. We need to focus on digital channels. We need to focus on in-person channels, and we need to focus on educating people. So the key to prospecting well is to targeting your ideal client in a multitude of fashions. And I'll just double down on education, which is one people don't use that often. It's educate them and they will come. That's what I like to say. Once you educate that ideal client, they will then come to you. So you educate them through your blog post, through your newsletter, through handwritten notes, through doing webinars, through writing ebooks. It doesn't really matter. It's just you need to educate people on the impact of buying your product, how your product is actually helping them solve a challenge.
That's powerful because especially as a hardware startup, probably the reason you're in this space is because you came up with some kind of an innovation. Something that makes your product better than whatever else is out there, something that's helping people or solving a pain point, creating opportunities for them, whatever it might be. But you've got that figured out on the hardware side. You've produced said thing and it does this stuff great. But everything, every product out there requires that element of education. Of course, if you've got a great product, the better the product is, probably the easier it will be to educate, but it doesn't matter what way you look at it. Point being is that you really need to focus on ensuring that you've closed that gap between interest and understanding. By doing that, that's your education sphere. And that can bring a lot of different pieces. That has a whole bunch of different components. But just recognizing the very fact that your job is to educate will help you as a founder who's really been focused on all those engineering details is to pull yourself out of the weeds and then focus on big picture, really what sells that ideal customer that you've considered.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. As a hardware startup founder, you're really smart. There's a lot of great things in your head. And the biggest challenge, the biggest thing that I have seen people in the industry do is to not get the information in their head out, to not help educating their prospective clients and their buyers on why their particular product is the best. So use the knowledge in your head. You already know it. It's already in there. And don't feel like you have to sit down and write. If you're like me and you like to talk, record a video. Just record a video and then you can get the transcript and you can use that. If you're a writer, write it out. But get it out of your head. That is the key to success in sales within this industry. You have to get the knowledge out of your head.
I like the fact that you talked about different mediums as well, and you've even identified different ways. You've talked about video writing, and of course, there can be so many derivatives of those. So as a hardware startup, just start adding to these various channels. You're going to educate on socials. You're going to educate on your website, of course. You're going to educate on maybe a brochure. And then you're going to have all these kind of video testimonial pieces that you can put towards it, whether it's customers or using the product or you talking about it or whatever else. Just start getting these pieces of education onto paper because the more of them that you have comes back to your concept, Wesley, that you're talking about this multi-channeled approach. So as a customer, you may have different ways of digesting information. And as such, the video might not work for one person. And therefore, they want to see the writing and vice versa on a different person. You don't want to miss those opportunities. You want to make sure that you're providing education in a bunch of different formats and in a bunch of different ways so that all of the different prospective customers can be educated enough to then switch to that next phase of the process, which is when you're actually trying to get them to close the deal.
Yes. And you know, the thing is, I want to give a very tactical tip. Because you can get so much from one medium, right? So let's say you get on, you record a video, and from that video, you pull the transcript. From that transcript, you can get social media bits and pieces. You can pull clips of the video and use that on social media. And in that nurture phase, which is the next phase in our sales process, we need to nurture people with emails. And so again, education. I'm putting you guys in the hardware manufacturing field in a place that you're comfortable. You are comfortable with knowledge. So I want you to realize in your nurture emails, when you're getting on discovery calls with people, when you're really helping people understand how your product is solving their challenges, you can do that in a place that you're comfortable. So if you feel like, I really am not that comfortable doing face-to-face meetings because I'm more a back of the office kind of person, have a phone call. It's okay. If you don't like getting on video, do a phone call. If you're more of that, I want to see you face-to-face, then go to that person. But in that nurture phase, it's really important that you connect with the buyer. You need to understand these are the problems that I know my ideal client is having, and these are the ways that I solve them. And so in these meetings, whether you have two meetings or 10 meetings within that middle phase of nurturing and closing and handling those objections, you have to make sure that you meet the customer where they are.
Let's talk a bit about objections, because I know that's a big part of the sales process and a part of this middle nurturing phase before you're actually trying to close. Just talk me through, first of all, what are objections? And then how can you actually be organized around objections and make sure that those aren't becoming a restriction for people actually purchasing your product?
The biggest objections are price, not having the authority to make a decision by themselves, and timing. So I'll go with the big ones. Whenever you hear a price objection, it's not about the price at all. It's that you have not demonstrated the value of your product. And so it's not worth the investment. So whenever you hear that, you need to take that onus on you and say, so Mr. Customer, Miss Customer, I understand that you say I'm out of your budget range or you can't afford this. Where did I miss the mark? What more do I need to show you the value of this product? Don't go into the pricing war, because if you win on price, you will lose on price. So if you start discounting your level, especially if this is the first product that you're selling somebody, that is going to be your zero. And it's only going to go down from there. They're going to always come back and ask for more discount and more discount until your margins are nothing and you can't even afford to service that customer because you played the price war.
That's so powerful, especially as a hardware startup. Your product, as we talked about before, has some additional value. I love how you mention it. If price is your primary objection, it's your fault for not showing them why the value is not there. People look at it differently. They say, if price, oh, I've got to reduce the price, or I've got to increase the feature set or some other thing that costs money. But you're looking at it the wrong way. It actually just comes down to an explanation. And I can tell you, it's a lot easier from an engineering perspective. It's a lot easier to fix a marketing approach or a set of marketing materials or some messaging than it is to re-engineer the whole product, either to add perceived value to it and or to reduce cost. So focus on your messaging and make sure that if you have a better mousetrap, as an example, make sure that they know what's better and as such are willing to pay a premium. And we talk a lot about pricing on the show, especially as a hardware startup. If you've done a great job of design, you've got a fresh 2024, beautiful, modern, sexy, well-designed, well-manufactured product that also has some added benefits that doesn't exist in the world, you should absolutely be charging a higher price than your competitors, especially as you're getting into the market. You can always offer discounts and sales if you want to get some early adoption or some early customers or just some quick feedback, but it's very difficult to increase your price after you've gone to market. So you might as well start high, prove that you're premium, as you were talking about, just be there to explain why it's worth the extra money, put your efforts there. And if you do that well, you'll not only sell the product, but you'll be selling the product at a better price, thus giving you better margins to continue to grow your hardware startup.
Absolutely. And when I was on the other side of the aisle, actually selling hardware, selling capital equipment, one of the things that I always knew is I was always the most expensive. I was never the cheapest option. And so I understood that my job was to educate my prospective buyers on the reason why this was a premium product. And I would always say, if you want to get the, you know, run of the mill that everybody else has, and you're going to have service and you're going to have to do this and you have to invest so much on the back end, why not spend this up front? And I'm guaranteeing you a X number a year warranty and you're going to have this and this and this. And so the key is to make sure that you have that value. And that question that you ask when you have that objection is, what did I not show you? It helps you, as you said, with your marketing message. It helps you make sure the next time you don't lose the same way. Because another thing that I like to say is it's okay to lose, but it's not okay to lose the same way twice. So if you continue to lose for the same reason over and over, you're not learning from your mistake. And the onus again is on you to figure out, what do I need to do differently? If I am just going directly through Shopify or directly through Amazon or whatever, just a direct to consumer place, and I'm getting a lot of returns for the same product, there's something that's in my messaging that I'm not doing right. There's something that I'm not telling the consumer and they're not satisfied. And so the onus is on me to understand that.
Love it. Powerful. Okay, so let's move on from the nurturing phase to the close phase. Now you've done your work to prospect, you've got those potential interested folks in, you spend some time nurturing with these media forms to educate them as best as possible. Now, how do we get the pen to paper so they actually close that deal and make the money?
So there are going to be two different ways. If we're going direct to consumer, in order to close, you really want to think about, what is that minimum viable product? What is the least amount that I can get somebody to say yes to and learn the value of the hardware product that I am producing, right? So think about the entry point into that client. And then once they pay you one time, it's a lot easier for them to pay you for something bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's about that remarketing, the continuing to nurture, picking up the phone and calling them, hey, I saw that you bought XYZ. What did you think about it? Okay, here's the next thing. And so make sure that, again, in your process, you have a stepladder. You start here, but I want you to end here. If you're targeting business to business, so you're going directly to distributors or to larger clients, what you really have to do is you have to make sure that that value that we're talking about, you're clearly able to communicate your value, how you are solving their problems, and allowing them to see, if you don't buy my product, the risk of not buying it. If you don't tap into this, what's going to happen if you use the competitor? You never mention the competitor by name. You never mention the whole, all the bad things. Your job is to take that client on this promised land of what the world will be like if they purchase your product, if they choose you as a vendor to work with, how you're going to help them, not just in the problem specifically that your product solved, but how are you going to help them professionally? Is this going to help them save time? Is this going to help them allow one full-time person to not have to focus on manufacturing this widget over and over and over again? Like, think about that. Really focus on that human that you are selling to.
I love many of the things that you mentioned just in there. One of the big ones was MVP. We talk a lot about that on the show, especially from a design and development perspective. You've got this great idea, focus on that and don't worry about all these bells and whistles you think could be the everything to everybody product one day, but you've actually doubled down on that, but from a sales perspective. So we look at that to make it simpler, faster, more effective to get to a manufactured product, but also of the fewer features you're doing, you develop those at a world-class standard. You never, especially in hardware, you never sacrifice quality. Well, how do you do that on a startup budget? You focus on less features. And it smooths everything out to, and including manufacturing itself. But on the sales side that you're talking about, it also brings this other added value, which is lifetime value of your customer base. And that's something that very few hardware entrepreneurs think about when they're launching their first product. They think about, okay, well, how many sales have I made? What's the cash flow and whatever else? But you're missing this other piece of equity, which is you've built this client relationship and you've given them the MVP version of your product. They are very likely to buy your next year version or the pro version or the accessories that you end up coming up with over the next few years to build essentially a brand line of a brand portfolio. Those initial relationships are powerful and it takes a lot of the stress from a hardware startup of trying to be the everything to everyone, trying to compete with Fortune 500 development firms that are specifically focused on that. So if you look at these Fortune 500 product companies, all the big brands, yes, of course, they put a tremendous amount of design and engineering effort into being the everything to everyone product. However, you as a startup can't afford those same sorts of luxuries. So focus on your innovation. That's the golden nugget. In addition to cracking into the market, that's your MVP, and then lever up from there.
Absolutely. And when I sold, when I was a salesperson, I would target people who had no solution, who they weren't using the big guys. They weren't doing, because I got to educate them. I got to give them their first step into this world. And so by giving them their first step into this world, it's like, well, what was I doing my whole life? Like, how did I even survive without having your products? And the thing is, when you can educate somebody and you can give them just a little bit of the promised land that they didn't know that they needed, right? Just that little leg up, you're really able to help unlock something in them. And the lifetime value of that client, it is so much easier to service an existing client than to go get a new one. So spend a little money up front, get them to the MVP, and then think about, okay, from $100, where do they go? 300, then they go to 1,000. But it's a stepladder, and that is the reason that we have a process. Because if we think about taking somebody from a $100 product to a $10,000 product, our close rate is going to be probably like 12%. It's going to be so bad because that's a huge step. But if we take them from $100 to $500, our close rate will be 50 or 60 or 70% because they now are building the value up. So think about that as you're building out your products, as you're building out your sales process. How do I want to take this person through, and where is the end point for them?
That's amazing. Wesleyan, before I let you go, I want to ask you about what you're doing with your organization, Transform Sales. Talk a bit about it and how you help emerging companies build their sales processes and obviously execute on those processes as well.
Yes. So what we do is we build sales strategy. We work with startups. We work with hardware manufacturing companies, and we really help look at this overarching organization, the company, where you want to be, that promised land. And we build a sales strategy as well as an actionable sales process that you can hand off to someone or you can execute yourself.
Super helpful. What's the website for that?
So I actually would love if people went to askwesleyan.com, and there I have a little digital twin. And so you can type in questions, things that we've talked about here. How do I build a sales process? How do I prospect? And you will get videos of me explaining this. So askwesleyan.com.
Much appreciated. As always, I'll put the links below in the show notes so anybody can click through and go from there. Wesleyan, thanks so much for all your words of wisdom today on helping hardware startups start selling their actual first hardware product to the market. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Product Startup Podcast. If you found some value in the show, please do us a huge favor and hit the like button and subscribe. If you have any questions, guest suggestions, or anything else, feel free to reach out to us anytime at our email, podcast@macodesign.com. This show is hosted by Kevin Macko, North America's leading expert on product development for hardware startups. And the podcast is produced by Macko Design, the original firm providing end-to-end consumer product development services tailored specifically to hardware startups, small manufacturers, and inventors. Take your product from idea to store shelves at MackoDesign.com. That's MAKO Design.com. Thanks for joining, and see you again soon.